Well, good morning. A couple of other announcements. I'm not sure they were mentioned. Where is John? Still having a ministry committee meeting immediately following this? Okay, so you don't need the meeting. That's good. Always good not to have meetings. The other announcement, David is embarking on a new endeavor here with the course called LEAD. I have no idea what LEAD stands for, but basically it's to build up leadership in the church for the people that are a little bit younger than a lot of us that are here today. It will begin with, when does it start, July or... Okay. And if you'd like to make a contribution towards that, the church is sponsoring part of this effort. And if you'd like to put that in the memo, if you want to write a check or whatever, put money in a little envelope, just let us know so that we can help offset that. In Luke chapter 11, and it would help if I could actually see the words I'm reading. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us go to the Lord in prayer also. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can be together to study your word, to be about your business. We ask you to open our hearts, touch our hearts, that we can serve you. And we ask you to bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, it's Father's Day. It is interesting that disciples came to him and said, Teach us to pray. You know, that was right after he had finished praying. So that prayer, whatever he was praying, made an impression on his disciples. They realized there was something special about the way that he prayed. And they wanted to know, hey, help us do that. I want to have powerful prayers too. And you obviously know how to do it, so tell us. And I'm sure it's probably happened to many people here. You see somebody doing something that you either weren't doing quite as well as you'd like to do, or you'd go to them, how'd you do that? And you'd listen, because I want to be able to do what that person just did. And since they know how to do it real well, I'm going to ask them. And that's what his disciples did. And yet, when he started off with how to address the God Almighty. He could have used the Lord of hosts, the Lord of lords, but he used a different expression. He said, Our Father. That established a relationship with the God Almighty. He was making sure that they knew, you're talking to somebody that's your father. Now, Father's Day is one of those kind of strange holidays, because for half the people, it brings up some really great fond memories of a dad that loved them, that cared for them, protected them, and it's just wonderful. Wonderful memories. But for half the people, that's not the case. They will say, huh? Why do I want to celebrate my father? One of the things that they used to teach us every year, if you're going into the jail to do ministry, you had to go through security training every year. And one of the facts that they would throw out is there's two great predictors about people winding up as inmates in jail. One of which is no father in the home. The second is education, not having education. And I'm sure Mike has run into this too. As you talk to some of these inmates, you'll hear some stories about fathers that really aren't too good. And you can understand why people would say, Father's Day, huh? Why in the world are you celebrating that? But for the good fathers, you know, fathers provided us an identity. You know, how many times have you been reading the scriptures that they'll say somebody's name, son of? David was the son of Jesse. Again and again you see that because the identity that is given by the father. Good fathers give provision. They meet the needs. They provide that protection. And they provide love. We're going to be looking at various verses about fathers. I want to put a plug in for something. You're about to see a video. Now, I got this video from Right Now Media. And I use videos to, in my Sunday school class, to reinforce whatever we're covering that day. Because it's always very useful, I find, to have something, a picture that you can have in your mind to go along with the words and the principles that we read about in the scriptures. Actually, Joseph has been pretty good about anticipating some of the videos. We had one about 2 or 3 weeks ago where about a 2.5 minute video clip, and the hero of the clip was an insurance agent. And right before that, right before we saw the video, he had made some comment about, well, you know, an insurance agent, you know, we don't have that stuff, or I forget exactly what you said, Joe, but it was kind of strange that he made that comment, and within 5 minutes, the hero of that little video clip was that. In fact, even the one we used this morning, he had almost gave a precursor to the video itself. But it got it off Right Now Media. For those of you that have little kids, if you do not have Right Now Media, I would recommend see Helen, grab one of the little bitty cards. You have unlimited access to VeggieTales, Buck Denver. Okay, help me out, grandkids. What's in the Bible? Yeah, it's great for grandparents. You want something that's safe to turn the kids on to, turn them loose. It's good TV, and it's fascinating. You'll enjoy it, too. The church has a subscription, and it's free because of our church. So that's where this clip came from. And now if you will run that, I'd appreciate it. Or click the next slide, and hopefully the technology will work. It's working fine.
Never really like asking for help with things. So when I had to rebuild my back deck, I was just like, okay, yeah, you know, I can do this. And so I started on it early one morning, and somehow my dad found out. And my dad, he's like this big, like manly guy. Like he likes building and fixing things. And I think I hurt his feelings when I didn't ask him to come help. So that afternoon, he was just randomly in my neighborhood, and he stopped by, and he wanted to like look at all my progress and everything that I was doing. And he's looking, he goes, oh yeah, you know, that looks nice, and oh yeah, you did a good job with that. And I could tell he was just waiting for me to ask him to help. And so eventually I was just like, hey dad, would you mind sticking around and helping me? And instantly his face lit up and he ran to his truck and he got all of his tools and his tool belt and everything, and he stayed out there working with me all day. And it's just like, that's my dad. Like he longs to be a part of my life because he loves me. I'm his son. But even that love pales in comparison to the love of my Heavenly Father. Because for so long, I tried to shut God out of my life, and I tried to do everything on my own, but my hard heart couldn't break God's steadfast love for me, because my entire life, God was longing to be my Father. God saw me struggle. He knew the things that I was battling with, and He watched me searching frantically for satisfaction and belonging down all of these empty roads. And all the while, he's knocking at my heart, desperately calling me home to let him in, to give up so that he could save me. Because that's my father. He longs to be a part of my life because he loves me. I'm his son.
Yeah, I think one of the words that kind of jump out, he was randomly driving in the neighborhood. How many fathers in here believe that that was random? No, you start, particularly as you have have kids of your own, there's an awful lot of watching and trying to anticipate what's going to happen. What problems are they going to run into? And eager to step in, eager to join in and to participate in your kid's life. I was fortunate to have a father like that, that kind of watched out and let us have our independence, but I knew that he was always watching and trying to keep us safe and trying to anticipate. And like he said on that video, God loves us even more than our earthly fathers do. And he wants to do so much more for us than our earthly fathers do. That is just a shadow of what the big picture and full glory color is for God being before us. He is eager to help, but what stands in our way? Exactly what stood in his way at the very beginning. I want to do it myself. I want to do it. And yet we have this tremendous assistance that's available there. All we have to do is just reach out and let the Lord know. If you will, thank you. I'm glad you're anticipating. I appreciate that. I started thinking about fathers in the Bible. There are many great men in the scriptures that were fathers. But I want you to think for a minute. Flip through the pages of your mind that has the Bible in it. How many great fathers were there in the Bible? A lot of great men that were fathers, but how many great fathers? That may stump you. It stumped me for a little bit. And I didn't come up with a very long list. I mean, there were some great men. David was a great man, man after God's own heart. He had a son called Absalom. He loved Absalom. Was he a great father to Absalom? There were some difficulties. But I did come up with three. Two of them were stepfathers. Do you realize that? And the third one was not a flesh and blood breathing father. The two fathers were Joseph, number one, the man that the Lord picked to be the stepfather of Jesus, to be that father figure, earthly father figure for him in his life. The second one had to go to the Old Testament, and he was about the only one I could think of in the Old Testament, Mordecai. Mordecai was not the father of Esther. Both these people, in fact, all three of them, are not the primary stars in the stories, the accounts that are in the scriptures. They were kind of the unsung heroes that Russ was talking about last week. There's a whole bunch of people that did some really neat stuff and admirable stuff in the scriptures, but they were willing to be second place. They were willing to not be the stars. Everything didn't have to be me. They were willing to step forward like that. Joseph, being a man that listened to God, he was willing to be obedient, even though he was not the star of the show. He was willing to be obedient, even though it brought him shame and embarrassment. He was willing to do that if that's what the Lord wanted him to do. And he did it. Mordecai, likewise, Esther was the star. But he gave very wise counsel. And was always keeping, you know, we talked about, you know, just happened to be in the neighborhood, kind of keeping an eye on the kids. And we do that. Mordecai was always pacing back and forth in front of the palace, trying to keep an eye on things, see what was going on, and providing counsel when he could. I did mention three, and we'll talk a little bit more about the third one later. And that was the father of the prodigal son. Now, usually in that story, we focus on the prodigal son. We won't focus on that whole account very much, but we will mention some stuff that that father did, which was quite important. For these fathers, God honors men of integrity, and he rewards them. He wants obedience in fathers, even when it results in humiliation. Are you willing to be humiliated as long as I'm still following and doing what God has called me to do? Next slide, please. In these words of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was talking to the 10 tribes of Israel. They were dispersed, scattered out under slavery to the Assyrians. And yet, he said, "But I said, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the host of nations?" This wasn't exactly a question. He was making more of a statement in that he wanted Israel to have that pleasant land. You know, he had given Israel, the 12 tribes, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he wanted to give that back to them. Now, we want our kids to have everything. Sometimes it's a bit of a challenge for the parents. We are so interested in giving our kids everything, we give them more than what they need and more than what they should have. And it takes special wisdom from the Lord to say, okay, you back off on this one. Give them what they need and what's going to build them up and not necessarily what they're asking for. So he wanted to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. He wanted them to have that beautiful heritage. But he said, as part of that, the book of Jeremiah, "And I said, you shall call me my father. You shall call me my father." That is that relationship that he wants to have with us. And that is the relationship that we need to be looking up to him. It shouldn't be an afterthought like rebuilding the deck. Oh, well, as long as you're here, you can help me out a little bit. My dad sure knew a whole lot more about cars and all kind of stuff than I ever dreamed of. And I really did not take advantage of his knowledge as much as I should have, in all honesty. Because he was there, and he wanted to help much more than I made use of. Next slide. The thing about adoption is that we are chosen. You don't have to adopt somebody, but God chose to adopt us. As we see in these verses, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We are adopted as sons. And how long was adoption for? Forever. Could you get rid of your son, your natural born sons? Yeah, you could kind of cut them out. But once somebody was adopted, what was the Roman law? You couldn't get rid of them. They were there forever. And yet he chose us. And notice the status. We're sons. We're part of the heirs. We're going to get the inheritance. And notice the purpose of that also. According to the pleasure of his goodwill, to the praise of the glory of his grace. We're doing this for his glory and in accordance with his grace. He makes us accepted. Next slide. He chose us and he wants to be our Father. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. The agreement of the temple of God with idols. What are the idols? That's the world. God is calling us to a different family than what the world is. His family is a whole lot better. His family is eternal. His family is right. The world wants us to worship the idols of this world. And what are the idols of this world? Fame, money, materialism, all kind of stuff that detracts us from God. And so we're called, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. He wants us to be part of his family and to do what's important with him. And I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. It's his family. He wants to be separate from the world's way of doing things. He wants to have that relationship with us. And there's something that goes on with fathers. I'm sure y'all have seen the TV commercial, and I forget what the product is. You know, there's probably a whole lot of TV commercials where you forget the product, but you remember the commercial real well. And there's a phrase in there, nothing can prevent you from becoming your parents. Have y'all seen that? Is it true? Yes. We had some family in for last week's celebration. And I was amused. Helen's brother, his name is Kenneth, and he was talking about sitting in his front yard and taking a ball. He has a dog, and he loves that. That dog is his child. And so to entertain his dog, he takes a ball and throws it, and the dog brings it back. Our dog could never learn that. But his dog would bring it back, and then he would throw it again. And while he's sitting out in front, he's always waving and speaking to people passing by. And he made the comment, I realized I'm doing exactly what Daddy did. Helen's dad was actually featured in the Charleston News and Courier in the lifestyle section. Because he was always sitting out in front of his yard, relaxing underneath the shade tree. And he'd be waving at all the people going by. And of course, he's like Helen. He never met a stranger, and he'll talk to anybody for as long as they want to talk to him. And he realized while he was doing that, hey, I've become my dad doing the exact same thing. And that's our advantage. We have a heavenly Father. The longer we walk with the Lord, the more we're going to become like him, the more we need to try to become more like him. But we need to get to know him also, which means getting into the scriptures, finding out what God is like. Next slide. Again, going back to the video, and he just randomly happened to be driving in the neighborhood. He knew his son needed some help with that that deck. I've built a deck before. I've built a couple of decks, in fact. I could have used some help early on with some. Should have had it for the planning of it. But it was good to have some help. It got it done a whole lot quicker when I did have help. But he knows what we need. And in this particular account, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. That's what the world is going after. the things that the materialism, the fame, the other aspects of things that we think we need. I can remember growing up, you know, how many of you remember kids, PF Flyers? They would help you run faster. Now, this is a real old commercial now. Half the people in here, it's beyond to even remember that. But we were convinced as kids, this is what we want our parents to give us because they would help us run faster. But our moms and dads knew what we needed. Fathers and mothers, through watching and through the knowledge that they have acquired, know what we really need. And our Heavenly Father knows what we really need also. And He arranges for that to come into our lives, if we'll pay attention. We have a few engineers in here. One of the things that they talk about designing a system. Now, a really good system will delight the final user. Because as they start using that system, they will discover things that the designer had built into the system that will meet a need that they didn't even know they had as a user. You can find that sometimes in software. It's kind of an old system, but one that you've heard, and it's been around for a long time. Ever forget to turn off you flip your blinker down, maybe you had a very gentle entry into the interstate, and your clicker just stays blinking on. And you don't even hear the click anymore or even notice the blink. And then all of a sudden this voice or some other noise goes off saying, "Hey, pay attention, you forgot something." It's not something that you would expect, or the first time I heard it, I wasn't expecting it because I was trying to figure out, well, why is this? It had been designed in because some designer knew that I would forget to turn off the blinker. And it's just one of those delightful little things that get built in. Well, our parents, our Father, our Heavenly Father especially, knows what we'll forget. He knows what things we really need to come about. God knows, and He takes the responsibility. He knows what is temporary and what is eternal. We don't necessarily know what's... We tend to focus on the temporary and go after that and forget the eternal. But we're fortunate enough to have a God that loves us and keeps it into perspective. Next slide. And this other verse about fathers. Our fathers want to give us, and our Heavenly Father especially, want to give us good gifts. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the answer, of course, to each of those is no. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Not only all the regular gifts we need, but especially that final gift of the Holy Spirit into our lives. God's gifts are good. Now, I mentioned earlier about the third father, the prodigal son father. Think about him. He was really a good father. Even though his son was determined to do something that wasn't good for him, I'm sure he gave him some counsel along the way. That's really not smart, what you're getting ready to do. But our Heavenly Father gives us free will, doesn't He? We're free to accept God or to reject Him. It's our choice. Makes a whole lot more sense to accept Him than it does to reject Him. But He loves us enough to give us the choice. But when that prodigal son came back, what did his father do? Think about how the son felt. Hey, I'm coming back. I'm not worthy to be a servant, but I would like you to take me on as a servant, Dad. I failed. Who wants to go to your father and say, I failed big time. I really screwed up. You're embarrassed. It hurts. And yet, this son came back with that attitude. But how did his father respond? He responded with a celebration. Let's kill the fatted calf. He gave him gifts. He restored him to his position. I'm sure people have had failures in life. Everybody has failures in your life. And you feel, well, I'm not worthy for anything. But to be restored to a position of responsibility and acceptance, that dad, that father, gave that prodigal son a tremendous gift. A gift that he was not expecting to get. And not only that, having give that prodigal son and the restoration that he needed, the forgiveness, basically, when I say restoration, just like God forgives us for all of our sins, everything we've been, built up in the past, he forgives us. He did something that's extra special, too. Remember, the older son wouldn't even come in. Now, as far as who's in charge, who had a higher standing in the family, the dad or the son? It was the dad. But the dad was willing to go outside and go to the son to figure out what's wrong. What can I do? He didn't have to do that. He was the one in charge. He was the lead. But he reached out to, he loved both sons, and he was reaching out to the other one. That's why, to me, the father of the prodigal son story, he deserves some credit. I mean, that's truly one of the unsung heroes that's in the scriptures. Next slide. But mostly, God loves us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. As we take on the characteristics of the Father, as we become more like him through study, kind of catching it from being around God and paying attention to what he's doing, we're going to be operating a little bit different from the rest of the world. We had a kind of what I thought was kind of a cute little video in our Sunday school class earlier about a fellow that, a New Yorker, kind of rough around the edges initially. He would, and we were talking about new beginnings. He would walk into his workplace, and their standard thing of greeting each other was, "Hi, stupid," and basically insulting each other and doing other stuff, not building each other up. He was pursued by the hounds of heaven, shall we say, and he discovered there's a God that loves him. He wound up getting into the Bible, wound up going to church, and there was a change, a new beginning in his life, as he became a child of God. As we look at this verse and we realize that God loves us and that we are called children of God, he has put us into a very good status, a good position. This isn't a second-rate position. This is first-rate here. We're right below the Father. If God says something, we are what God declares us to be. He's the one that's right. If we see things differently, if we don't have the confidence, if we don't feel it, or if we don't agree with it, that really doesn't matter too much. It's God's word that makes a difference. It doesn't involve wishing or pretending. We have an opportunity as a child of God to do so much more than we know or that we can think we can achieve. Next slide. I sure hope I spell these words right. They look a little different when you stare at them a little bit later. But basically, we can know that God loves us because he says so. He wants to help us repair our deck. All of us have lives, and there's parts of it that could use a little bit of work. And it's not a case of I can do it myself, but we have a Heavenly Father that has a very nice tool belt, a lot of knowledge. It's just out in his truck. He needs to run out there and grab it and come help us. And he wants to do it. And that's what's involved in him being our Father. And we need to take on his characteristics and to live for him. If anybody hasn't accepted the Lord as their Savior, today's a good day to do it. I know we have people are be streaming the service either now or later, and they may not have accepted Christ as their Savior. Christ, Jesus Christ, our brother under our Heavenly Father, has made a way for us to become a child of God. And so we need to join him and accept God as our Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have for us. I thank you that you provided a way for us to become your child. I thank you for the gifts that you have piled up and are just waiting to give to us and show us the ways and provide us the guidance. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.